Ask you to turn with me now to the book of Psalms, Psalm 56. Psalm 56, and we'll start our reading at the opening verse. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they are many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest, they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. For this I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Let's bow, please, before God in prayer. Father, as we have thy holy word open now before us, and in these final minutes, moments of this service tonight, I pray that we'll be very conscious of the nearness of the Lord Jesus to us, of the help of the Holy Spirit to understand the Scripture, and that its truth would be written on our hearts. Lord, take away every distraction. Take away from us those things that would intrude upon a sacred hour. And I pray that I might know the help of the Holy Spirit to speak thy word faithfully and plainly, so that no one would misunderstand. And the Holy Ghost would do that necessary work within our own souls to draw us out in a greater understanding, in a greater reception, in a greater application of the Word of God to our lives. Please help us, Lord, tonight, we pray. Bless everyone who is watching our service tonight online, that they would be blessed and built up in their most holy faith, and for any who may not be saved, they would come to trust in the Lord Jesus tonight as their Savior. So hear this, our prayer, and bless us now, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you will know, we have been encouraging you to think much upon our congregational week of prayer that's coming up starting next Monday. And as we've been thinking about this, we do well to prepare our minds, to prepare our hearts for, well, really what that means, to call upon the Lord. what that means as an individual, what it means for us as a congregation. I included in the bulletin this week a quotation by Albert Barnes, and I encourage you to look with me for a moment at that. He wrote that no one can have evidence that he is chosen of God who is not a man of prayer. One of the best marks by which the electing love of God is known is that it disposes us to pray. Prayer. It's the breath of the Christian and the child of God. It is the means by which you and I will communicate with God. It is the lifeline that the Christian church has with heaven. And we know that God communicates with us, His people, through His own precious word. But how is it that you and I will communicate with God? It is that we will follow the pattern and the plan that He has set before us in His own precious truth, that we are to be men and women of prayer. Now, prayer will come to us sometimes, we have to admit, more easily than at other times. Or maybe you and I will be more disposed to pray and seek the Lord at certain times in our life, because things are going maybe not as we planned. Or there might be some particular thing that has upset us, and we rush to the Lord in prayer at a time like that. Oh, but my friends, prayer is the very arm and lifeline that we have in our communication with God. And let us never minimize the importance of prayer in the life of the believers in Christ, in the life of the local church. We emphasize to you time and time again that setting apart daily communication with God is necessary for us as His people. But what about the need to set apart the weekly prayer time with the congregation of His people? And hence why we encourage you, we draw you to see the importance of, when we've put aside the beginning and the commencement of a new year, to wait before God in an extended period in this week of prayer we have planned for the last full week of January. And I know that sometimes when we begin a week of prayer or begin an annual seeking of the Lord, there is an extra double effort that people might have who don't normally come, and they will come to a night on the week of prayer, and maybe they think, well, I can check that box off, and all is good now. And in no way do I, as a minister or your pastor, I don't want to put that guilt trip upon you. That's not the way in which we are to be motivated at all. But as the Spirit of God places within your heart, places within your own soul that evident longing and need to seek God for your own spiritual development, to seek the Lord for what we have need of here in our own congregation. Oh, I press that upon you, upon the very authority of the Word of God. Yes, friend, and this psalm that we have read tonight, Psalm 56. Well, it's one of these psalms where David is at a very important juncture in his own ministry and life, and where he sees the absolute urgency of calling upon the God of heaven. And you can't help but see this, certainly in the timing of prayer, as David was speaking of from verse 9. It says, When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. My friend, when we think about the timing of prayer, well, we ask ourselves a question. Well, David says here, when I cry unto the Lord. So there was a time when he saw himself seeking the Lord with his heart. But then you ask it in a reverse sort of a way. Is there ever a time when a Christian should not be praying? Well, our Lord Jesus tells us this word, men ought always to pray and not to faint. But do you know something, that there is an occasion in the Scripture when the Lord actually stopped a man from praying? That's the case in Joshua's life. Yes, back in the days when there was sin in the camp of Israel through Achan. And Joshua knew that the armies of Israel had been defeated by that small city of Ai. And he was very concerned and came before God and fell before him until the Lord said, get up from your praying. Stop praying because there is sin in the camp. And that's one of those unusual, unique, and yet very teachable moments for us. Because as a Christian, we cannot continue in prayer. The timing of prayer is wrong if there's sin in the heart or in the life. Because the Lord says, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. Of course, He'll always hear the cry of repentance. He'll always hear that cry if we come to say, Lord, we have sinned against you. Please have mercy upon us. But the Lord does not acknowledge prayer if we try to segregate or separate the fact that we are regarding iniquity in our hearts. We're having some reception of sin. And the Lord says to us, you must put that right first of all before you can come to pray. So that's an important thing for us to remember and to note in our own Christian experience, in our life, whether it's individually or that matter for a congregation, for a church. But for David in this situation that was before him, in Psalm 56, the timing of prayer for him was, well, there was an urgency about what was going on in his life. There was an urgency for him. Why? Because the enemy was attacking him, it seemed, from every direction, from every angle. Look what it says in verse number 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Have you ever had the experience of being under the attack of Satan in such a way that you feel yourself being drawn down by a current that you cannot swim against? That there is such an open mouth of satanic force and power that's drawing you into that current, and you feel you are helpless to stand or fight against such a thing. David knew what it was to be on the receiving end of those that hated God and that hated his people. And his feeling of helplessness, Lord, come to my aid, because I feel myself being just consumed, swallowed up by, of course, the enemy of our soul. We know Satan has not even the slightest amount of grace in him. There is not even an ounce of mercy in the enemy, in the one who is the enemy of our souls. And he has pitted himself against everything that God has called good and righteous and holy. And as he comes against us as his people, he targets us. And maybe tonight, you know yourself to be the target of the devil's attack in your life. What are you supposed to do? Well, David maps out for us exactly what we are supposed to do. And we are to call out unto the Lord at such a time and in such a circumstance when the enemy is multiplying his attacks against us. He says in verse 1, they would swallow me up. And he that is the enemy of our souls is fighting daily. He oppresses me. Mine enemies, verse 2, would daily swallow me up. Then he says in verse 5, every day they rest, they twist my words. So he knew that Satan was inspiring enemies against him. He knew that not only was his attack against the devil himself, but it was against everyone whom the devil would raise up to do the work that was against God's work. Because every work that is against the work of God, it's against the work of God's people and servants. And you and I will feel the heat of that in our own daily life. We will feel that in our congregation. Friends, we must be very alive and alert to the fact that there are enemies all around us that are trying to infiltrate and to undermine what God has established here. He will come sometimes from the outside attack. It is certain. We have felt that. But he will come from the inside as well. Let us all pray and be very certain that we do not allow ourselves to become the pawns of the devil, to be used in any way to be one who is coming from the inside, to spread perhaps a root of bitterness, to spread envy, to spread that which is not the love of Christ for our brothers and sisters, but rather that we would pray the very opposite, that Satan would be defeated, that we would not be used by him or become his monkey, so to speak, to be manipulated, and therefore the work of God would be hindered. David knew that there was a daily attack against him. And don't you think for a moment that you dare wake up from your bed to a new morning and think, I am not going to be attacked by the devil today, that I am absolutely free from the attack that is potentially that to undermine my faith and my work and therefore have an effect upon the work of God here. The timing of prayer for David was essential, and he knew that he had to seek God for those that came against him. He said, "When I cry unto thee." And I want you to notice something else. It was very much the tears that David shed in prayer that he acknowledged that God was watching over. Verse 8 says that thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? You know, tears are not only those things that we shed outwardly that people can see. Sometimes some folks, well, may not cry too easily. But God is not just seeing those tears that are shed openly so that other people can see as well. But the Lord observes, my dear brothers and sisters, the tears that are shed on the inside, the tears in prayer. The tears of crying out to the Lord for His intervention. This is what it is to be earnest in prayer. Because prayer is the communication of the heart. It's not just of the mouth or the mind. We're not to come to the Lord with some sort of a mapped out journey of prayer. We're not to be robotic about it. But prayer, by the very nature of what it is the communication of the heart. And at the time when the child of God, when our heart is broken, when our hearts are heavy because we have either been under the attack of the devil or we are very close to someone who is currently under that attack, and what do we do when we come to weep for them? We are bearing one another's burdens. Yes, and that's part of what it means to be in the fellowship of God's people. It's how the Lord said that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. It is when they are hurting that we bear that hurt before the throne of God in heaven. And there is a moving of the heart. There's a crying out to the Lord for ourselves and for others. And isn't it fascinating that God notes here in His Word that the tears that a brother or a sister, a child of God, is crying to Him, that God is keeping those tears in His bottle. He is keeping those tears that you are crying out unto Him. And in keeping those tears, what is He doing with them? Well, could we say it respectfully that the Lord is setting them on His shelf and they are there preserved? And not only do we know that this psalm teaches us that God is marking the heart expression of our praying by those tears, whether they are physical or spiritual. And not only do we have the Lord setting them on His shelf, but there is a book that God is keeping. There is a registry. There is an accounting. You see, my friend, this represents that God is interested in what's going on in the life of His people. He is interested in what you are going through. He is interested in what it is that is of a concern to us. And He is measuring those things. That's why, oh friend, when we think of the value of our intercession tonight, when we realize the value of our praying, when we see, as Barnes spoke about, it's one of the strong indicators that we are a child of God. We're one of His elect. Because we are praying and we are serious about the business of prayer. Our tears are kept by God. He measures them. He is accounting them. Is it because of the tears themselves? Of course not. But it's because of what those tears represent. They represent intercession. They represent that which whereby we have called upon the Lord. They represent prayers that have been spoken, whether openly or silently. And God is measuring and keeping our intercession. Friend, don't think for a moment that your prayers are of no value. Your prayers are of immense value to the living God. How do I know this? I know it because He has told us in His Word, I am marking them. I am keeping them. And though your heart might be heavy tonight, and though you might be weighted down and even broken for one issue or another, yet the Lord is saying, I am measuring those things, my child. Don't think for a moment that they are not being accounted for by the living God. Yes, there is the timing of prayer here in this psalm, and the tears that are being registered and measured by the living God. But in prayer for David, there was the triumph of his prayer. Because in verse 9, he says, when I cry unto thee, then. There's a time marker here. Then shall mine enemies turn back. The triumph that you and I have to know that our praying is not in vain, because the God to whom we pray to, His ear is tuned to our praying, and He has promised us that there is a sure victory and a reward. So many times you and I get discouraged because we might pray and we don't see the answer coming as we think it should come. Or we don't see it coming as quickly as we think it should come, and we are very quick to give up. But David is telling us, no, that is not the type of prayer that is persevering prayer. That's not the type of prayer that we're told about in the book of James. The effectual and the fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much, because that type of prayer that God calls His people to, it's effectual. It means it will come with a victory attached to it. Why and how do we know this? Because the Lord has told us, seek my face. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain us. Yes, my dear friends, there is a glorious triumph that we are assured of in our intercession as we seek the Lord tonight. And therefore, let us be encouraged, and let us be about the Master's business. Let us be about the business that we are called to in this fellowship that the Lord is interested in us doing and praying for him, to him, and for the work that is so absolutely essential. No, there is a blessed teaching that we will learn from our praying. Look at how it affected David. After in verse 9, when he records this great truth that this I know, that God is for me, the Lord is on my side. Now we compare that to Romans chapter 8, and we could well say, if God be for us, if God is on my side, who can be against me? And so David was instructed by the Spirit of God through the very praying that he was offering, because the Spirit of God came to encourage his heart, came to lift him up, came to assure him. It doesn't matter what the devil says about you or to you. It doesn't matter how he tries to hinder the work. Christ's kingdom and work will continue. And we are in the will of God. And being in the will of God and to serve the kingdom of Christ, let us be taught and know that there is only victory for us as we go forward. Look at verse 10. He said, in God will I praise his word. Isn't it so like the Psalms and how David would start out in the Psalm with all of heaven weighted upon his shoulder, of all the enemies of hell that were against him. And he would say, Lord, the enemies are more. I'm going to be swallowed up here in a moment. But things changed. What was it? Because David was taught by the Lord and by the Spirit of God that your prayers are heard. They are not vain, they are not empty, but they're heard. And he says, now I know that God will praise. I will praise him from his word. I will praise the Lord who is my living God. Verse 11, he says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. We know that the enemies that David faced militarily and politically and socially, they were all around him. But he knew that those were only the indication that there was a greater power that was against him. But he realized time and time again that man cannot do anything against him. When I fear the face of God, I will not fear the face of man. When David realized that even from the early days of Goliath and all of those enemies that came after Goliath, and there were many of them, he said, what have I to be afraid of? There is no man, there is no power, there is no force in heaven or hell that can stand against what I am about, because I'm about the Lord's work. I am in the center of his will. We are going forward in the great joy and victory of what Calvary has accomplished for us and in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And this truth and this hope is a most amazing thing that you and I have to be thankful for, to rejoice in, and to give praise to God for tonight. Therefore, believer, be encouraged. Be rejoicing. Be thankful each day. And let us go forward conquering and to conquer, knowing that God will fulfill and accomplish everything that he has purposed through us, through our lives. And that's his will. And when we understand this, it will help us to know that through the very difficult times of life, we were thinking on Wednesday evening about the situation in Acts 12. we were considering that though James had been killed and Peter is taken and going to be killed the next day, and the church of Christ, what did they do? Well, they got busy before him in prayer, and they were unceasing in their agonizing prayer to the Lord. And he heard them, and he answered them. But that victory that they had at that moment, it was not the last battle they were going to face in no way. It was not the end of all battles for the Christian. It was only a stepping stone for the early church. For they would have many, many more enemies. But each time the Lord reinforced to them the value and the victory, the triumph there is in praying. As God's people, do we realize, my dear friends, what is at our disposal? Do we consider and calculate what God has presented for us? That we have power before the living God. Therefore, let us take that power of prayer and let us lay hold upon God and see what things He will accomplish through one very weak individual, one very simple believer. But as we get through to the throne of grace, God will dispel the enemies. He will see us leaping over a wall, as God gave strength to His servants to do. It's not by our own willpower. It's by us seeing ourselves in a union with our Savior, in union with our loving Father in heaven. The joy and the peace that we have and the anticipation, it's not about us, nor is it by our strength. It is by the Holy Spirit that abides within the heart of the child of God. And we are to live in the victory of all that Jesus has accomplished for us every day. Let us, therefore, walk in the Spirit, that we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, that we might joy and rejoice in the great salvation that we have. And let that be our victory day by passing day. We're going to close our service by singing the same hymn that we closed with actually on Wednesday evening, number 487, 487. Not now, but in the coming years, it may be in a better land, we'll read the meaning of our tears. Then we will see and know the interpretation of those tears from a divine vantage point. For God will show us, do you remember that tear? This is why that tear was shed. And the evidence the Lord will keep and show us, because that's the authority of His Word. God is measuring these things. We'll know the meaning of our tears. And there, in heaven, sometime, we will understand. We're going to stand, please, and sing verses 1, 4, and 5 of 487. Our loving Father, in the Savior's name, we bow before Thee tonight with the joy and the assurance and the certainty that there is no trial or challenge. There is no tear that we shed before our God for the kingdom of Christ that is not registered and measured. And we know, Father, that yes, we are called upon to pray at all times, but we know that there are circumstances that press heavy upon our hearts. And we know at those seasons that we have the listening ear of our great God. And we ask, Father, that You would increase our faith, or, Lord, help us to use the measure of faith that we have, and that we will not be weak and faltering. Rather, we would be confident to stand four square upon the Word of God, upon the precious promises that we have from Thy truth, that we will not be weary in our well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So, Lord, increase us. Help us to grow in grace every day, to be strong in the Lord, in the power of Thy might. Part us, Lord, we pray tonight, in Your fear, with the rich blessing upon us. Encourage us, bless us. We ask all of these things tonight, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.